Welcome back to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson. This week, we will be discussing the importance of practicing self-care, which for many Black folks is critical, especially during this time where we are battling this global pandemic and the continued oppression of our people. I want to give a shout out to all of the people coming out in support of the Black Trans Lives Matter and All Black Lives Matter protests. I know many of my LGBTQ plus folks feel forgotten in the movement. So as a community, we need to do better in fighting for all Black lives. I think we are taking a step in the right direction, but still have a long way to go. You are now listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson, a podcast where nothing is off limits, where we talk about everything from romance, sex, pop culture, and everything in between. Sit back, relax, and enjoy an unfiltered time where we keep it sweet and always saucy. We have our first guest, Raquel Samuel, who just graduated with her master's from Fordham University. She's the host of Brooklyn and Soursop, a podcast about what it is like to grow up as a Caribbean millennial in New York City. Our second guest is Aji Diada. Aji is a close friend of mine. Most know her from her new YouTube channel, Aji and Abby. First, we have Raquel.
Hi. Yes! It's been so long, right?
I know. How you been?
I've been all right. I'm so glad to finally have you on the podcast.
Yay!
Yes. Yes, I've been pretty good. It's so nice out, and I'm confused because there's a pandemic and there's protests and anger, but then beautiful nature, and it's all over the place right now.
I feel like that's life though, right? Life is just like that. It's like all of this craziness here and then all of the beautiful is over here. You just make it work.
Yeah, for sure. How have you been dealing with everything going on? Like the lasting effects of the pandemic and then the protests? Like, have you been going to any protests?
No, I have not attended any protests, but I've definitely been, you know, keeping an eye out on social media. I live in Brooklyn, so I hear and see like the people and the signs and stuff. You know, I was thinking about like my role in all of this, like especially recently, and just thinking about, okay, in what ways can I show up? And so definitely just in my small circles, my circle of friends, just thinking about like how do I take care of them and how do I take care of other people, and that's through writing, that's through talking, that's through providing spaces to just, you know, check in with each other. And with each other, I mean with other Black and brown people.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I, you know, shout out to the protesters, but I'm scared. Like, I don't want to go out and, you know, be in small and large crowds of people with a pandemic going on. I just, you know, yes, we have face masks and all of those things, but for me personally, it's not something that I want to risk. And I understand like the importance of it, but just thinking about different ways that I can participate and contribute in this fight. And so I feel like I do that every day in my work and in my relationships with people. So
yeah. And
what
also
about you?
Yeah, and also your podcast, Brooklyn and Soursop.
Yeah, podcast. Yes, I do have a podcast. It's called Brooklyn and Soursop. And so we basically, actually the last episode, we talked about, me and my really close girlfriends just talked about what it means to take care of ourselves and really reclaiming the term self-care, because self-care has become co-opted. The ways that we see it on social media, we see, you know, drink this tea and do this yoga pose for healing, right? But we've been engaging in self-care since we've existed. And by we, again, I mean Black people, right? And so just having a conversation about, like, what does it mean and what does it look like to take care of ourselves, and just going back to the root of that, I think is really important. So, yeah, podcast, Brooklyn Soursop. We talk about what it means to be a West Indian American growing up in the United States, growing up with Caribbean parents. How do you navigate both of those worlds? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. I mean, it's important to focus on self-care and mental health. Like, I have a therapist And I've talked about it on this show before, you know, I'm so happy that I have a therapist and she's a Black woman. It's just so helpful. When I talk about racial injustices or things that bother me, she comes from a standpoint of like where I kind of come from, where it's like, yeah, I notice this too, even as a therapist, and this is what we should do. And the thing you said about not feeling comfortable protesting, I feel uncomfortable protesting for two reasons. One, I see the violence that has been going on, like with things that the cops have been doing to protesters, peaceful protesters, and also the pandemic. And I'm still seeing people, like friends of mine, like hang out without masks. Mm-hmm. And I'm confused because like, I would love to just hang out with no mask and just chill. But it's like, this is still a pandemic.
Yes. We're still in the, I'm in awe when I like just walk past and just see the number of people just gathering and they're so close to each other. Like, and again, like the movement and everything that's happening is so important. Like we do need to be out in the streets, and we've seen that in history, what happens when people collectively come together to protest, right? There's value in that. But for me, right now, like I just, I can't. And like on a note about protesting, for me, I'm also just very mindful of like being intentional about how I show up. And so a lot of people are protesting and don't even know what they're protesting. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they show up and they have the sign and they do the chant and then go back to live their daily lives and do the same things that reproduce injustices. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what's the point? So like just really being intentional about like how, again, like how I show up is really important. And so protesting for me isn't the way that I choose to show up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, part of me wants to at least go to one protest, you know, because I saw a group of people with signs protesting outside my house. They were walking and they're peaceful and they were loud. And I was actually chanting along with them from my house safely. But like part of me wants to go to at least one. But in the beginning, I think it's a little bit better now. I think in the beginning when I was watching the news, it scared me. It was very, things I saw were just disgusting. And I was like, if a cop like throws me on the ground, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to deal with those kind of things.
And they are throwing people on the ground for no reason, like even peaceful protesters, right? People who are just holding up a sign, you can get tossed on the ground.
I try to stay far away from. I know my dad was saying, man, if I was 20, I'd be out there. And he's a strong man, you know, and he's very angry, as he should be. And I asked him, but do you feel comfortable me doing it? And he said, actually, not really. Hmm. It's just, but it's gotten a lot better, I think. And, you know, I see celebrities doing it. And a lot of white people now,
Yes. Yes. There's a lot of white people protesting. And when I say think about intention, I think that's who I'm specifically talking about. I'm talking specifically about white people who, like really investigate why are you protesting.
Yeah.
Like, please don't go out there and protest and walk and do all of these things and then go back and do everything that you were doing before. Mm-hmm. Right? It's also about action at this point, and not just the action of protesting, but in what ways are you dismantling the system?
Yeah.
And being intentional about it. And also not being self-serving about it either. I think is really, really important. So I'm so glad you said white people, because sometimes I see them with their signs. I'd be like,
So have you seen examples? Obviously, you're not going to give names or anything, but have you seen examples of white people doing that where you're just like, what are you doing?
I think not even to give names, right? I think it's all over Instagram and social media. The fact that Black Lives Matter is trending now is infuriating to me because we've been saying this.
Yeah.
We've always said this. Like, even the ones who have stepped on this earth before us have always said in their own way, right? Not just, you know, not just in the hashtag that we have now, but the civil rights movements, right? And all of these examples of Black liberation movements, we have always said Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
But now that it's trending, now everyone wants to repost.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's infuriating. And that's when I'm just like, I don't even want to look at social media right now.
Yeah. That goes to my next question. What has your relationship been with social media right now? Because that, when we talk about self-care, man, it's hard to take care of yourself and put yourself first and really take that time and then constantly see all of this on social media. So how have you been, dealing with that?
So actually this weekend I deleted the app off my phone because I was like, I just need the weekend to just not look at anything. But I take it in chunks. I don't overindulge. I go on it just so I'm abreast about what's going on. But for the most part, like, I use it to repost resources for care. So a lot of the stories that I post on my Instagram account has to do with, like, this is what's happening now. This is how you take care of yourself, right? And just remembering to take a moment to, like, check in and look and make sure that you're doing okay. And then in the same conversation of care, like, specific care for communities who are directly impacted by everything that's happening now, and also communities who are impacted the most, especially during this pandemic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, again, like, following accounts that are meaningful, that are promoting, like, ways to care for yourself, and also like, reposting and sharing those information, I think, is how I've been using social media when I do use it. I'm not interested in just reposting things. I'm over it. Just being really intentional about my social media use is how I've been engaging with it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's difficult. Because again, I'm so happy that now people are thinking about racial justices and really thinking about the Black community more. But at the same time, it's like, what took us so long? And what are some of these white people doing other than just like posting a Black square? Like, you know what I mean? Are they taking out certain books now? Are they reading? Are they educating themselves? Are they educating their family members at Thanksgiving? What else are they doing? And I don't know. I had two my white friends in the thick of it part two. Mm-hmm. Because those are two white people that really didn't think a lot about this in the past and now are making sure that they're not actually going to Black people saying, what do I do? They're making sure that they're educating themselves. And I thought it was important to have those people on this show showing, like, you don't have to go to your Black friend and say, hey, what do I do? What book do I read? Like, Amanda Seale said it better herself. Don't text me that.
You know? Please don't. Leave me out of it. Right? And that's asking us to do more labor. Like, we live this. Why are you asking me?
Come on. Right?
And it's so frustrating. It's so tiring to, like, that's the only reason that you're talking to me right now, because you want to know how not to be racist. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. And like with school, I say it all the time, we learned so much about European history and we had to go ourselves and go to the library or search online and do our own research of ourselves. So you're telling me you guys can't do the same thing? Because you had your history.
We got Google now. There's the Google.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not an excuse anymore, and that's what I love about this round of Black Lives Matter movement, which is so different than the others. It's like, we're now telling you it's not enough to just be like, I'm not racist.
Yeah, I definitely feel that shift, too, in this movement, and, like, we're past the point of just, like, you need to hold yourself accountable and think about how have you engaged in this, how have you upheld systems of oppression, how have you oppressed Black people. And then go and work on it and do it. You don't have to include us necessarily in it, right? Just don't be a shitty person.
Yeah.
Stop being shitty.
Yeah. Yeah. And check your privilege too. You know, now people are acknowledging, wow, I do have white privilege. And it's like, well, you should have been acknowledged that. Like, this is old news to us. Like, for me, this is all old. But it's coming up, and now I'm seeing friends of mine that I would never think had an opinion about this now have an opinion about it. And it's like, oh, there you are now. I see you.
Definitely, because this conversation was always treated as other, right? It's always been, that's what y'all do, that's what y'all talk about, I'm gonna be over here, and that's the privilege of it. You don't have to necessarily talk about it anymore. Like, you don't have to talk about it at all. And so, like, now, because it's we're saying, like, enough is enough, you need to begin to hold yourself accountable. I think that it's shifting the conversation, which is so important.
For sure.
And it's needed. But also, like, to your point, like, I don't want to be a part of your self-discovery. And I also, to add to that, too, I also don't want white people to think, like, we need a, like, they need to say sorry. Like, okay. For me, like, I don't want an apology, right? I don't want, from a white person, I don't want to hear, I'm so sorry about what happened to you. Because it's like, we've been taking care of ourselves for so long. Like, we're good in that respect. It's just like, just do better moving forward. At least for me, right? My perspective is like, I don't want to hear how sorry you are. I don't want to hear all of that, because that's also coming from a space of guilt and white fragility that I'm not interested in participating in. So, like, to add to that, like, don't ask me how to be better. And also, I don't want, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I just do better. And,
yeah.
And go do your work.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like, the white fragility thing, I've been hearing a lot about that. There's also a book on it, you know, because then it becomes about them saying sorry and not about just moving forward and progressing.
Yeah.
And we want to make it about what it's supposed to be, you know.
Right.
So that too. And again, when we're talking about the big shift in the Black Lives Matter movement, I notice now there's, like, Black Trans Lives protests and all Black Lives Matter protests, which I have never seen before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even though Black women did start the Black Lives Matter movement, Black queer women, which I'm proud of, I feel like a lot of times we still think about the Black men and we don't really talk a lot about the Black women and Black queer women and queer individuals. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about that. Like, what do you kind of think about that? Yeah.
You're going to need a whole other podcast. It's just so much to unpack.
Yeah.
Right? And now that's getting into the conversation about intersectionality. And it's getting into the conversation about, like, we know that we, as in, like, you and me and other Black people, right, who are a part of this movement, know that Black Lives Matter. But it doesn't talk about the discrimination that exists within our own group, right? And so that discrimination, the transphobia that exists, homophobia that exists, and it also speaks to the intersectionality between, like, gender and race, right? Because, yes, you're a Black man, but you're still a man, right? And so you have privilege in that identity of being a man, a cis gendered Black man, right? There is heterosexual Black man. There is privilege in that, and so, like, that's a whole other conversation that I definitely appreciate that the movement is taking that direction now. But I do see the pushback on it, right? So, like, I've seen on social media a little bit of, like, when people say all Black lives matter, like, you see people saying, oh, don't be so divisive, like, this isn't about that, like, that's what we're saying. But you're still using the same tools that someone who says all lives matter is doing, right? You're not acknowledging that, yes, within this group there's still some kinks that we do need to work out. Like, just thinking about, like, all of the deaths of trans people in general, Black trans people, Black trans women are literally being killed, not just by white people, but also people within the group,
our community,
because of transphobia. Like, we need to talk about that in order for all transformation, all healing to begin. Like, that's also a conversation that does need to be upheld. So I'm here for it.
No, for sure. I like it too, because it's like, and I'm curious, do you think, you know, Breonna Taylor, I know she died before George Floyd, if I'm correct about
that. I think that happened earlier in the year.
Do you think that the movement would have surged like it did, and we would have been out in the street if it was Breonna Taylor and not George Floyd? Like, if George Floyd hadn't have happened, let's say, because I know this really surged after George Floyd and seeing the video. Do you think that this would have still happened if it was just Breonna Taylor or another Black woman or Black trans woman?
That's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one. And because it's something that I've wondered as well. I mean, my thoughts on it is no, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because even in the midst of all of this Black death, I remember seeing an article, I think the cover of the New York Times, was it, that had George Floyd's body and then within had all of the pictures or illustrations.
New Yorker, yeah.
New Yorker, right, of all of the other black people who lost their lives so far. Mm-hmm. And there was a conversation about why is this black man mm-hmm. sort of the center of this, and then you have like a very small picture of the trans person who was killed. Mm-hmm. So in thinking about that, and it's such a sensitive topic because yeah. like no one deserves to die that way. And you definitely don't want to uphold like say one life is greater than
yeah.
the other.
But, yeah.
Like why can't we have conversations about all of these tragedies at the same time, without it being like one is being upheld more than the other, like yeah. I don't know, it's hard to say, it's really hard to say, and I don't think if it was just her, like I don't think so.
Yeah, and that's sad that we feel this way. That's sad, that because I actually feel the same way, and I feel like when we do talk about it, we're a lot of black people are like, well, why are you picking at the movement? Why are you, they say yeah. we're being dividing. And it's like, but we're not, we're just saying as black women, I want to know that people will chant for me.
Hey, me too.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to know that if God forbid a cop was on my neck, right. Mm-hmm. That someone would be like, let's go to the street right now. Let's put up mm-hmm. signs, you know? And I do like that people were chanting Breonna Taylor's name, and she was, what happened to her is well known. We know most people know about it, but I just wonder, like, man, like if people show up for black women and black queer people, like they will for, you know, black cis men. And mm-hmm. I want us all to equally to be treated the same. Mm-hmm. Which is the reason why we have this movement. So yeah, like it's crazy.
I feel sad talking about it.
Yeah.
But I also know that it's true. Yeah, and it, again, like it has to do with identity. It has to do with just thinking about the ways, like this hierarchy of, like, yes, you're black, but if you're a black man, this is probably what's going to be your experience within this community. And if you're a black trans person, this is probably what your experience is going to look like. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, it just means there's still so much work to do. There's so much work to do.
And I'm tired. I'm exhausted, you know, right? I think black people, we're so tired. No matter how old we are.
We're so tired.
Yeah. Because it's just so much on our shoulders. You feel that. And it's like, mm-hmm. man, now white yeah. people are starting to kind of lift it from us and saying, hey, we'll take it. I'm like, good. You know, yeah. help us yeah. out a little bit.
Take it and go do something with it. Don't take it and then say, hey, like, yeah. can you help me carry this again? Like, no.
Like, go home and throw it on the ground and leave it there. It.
Yeah. And you're not even taking the whole thing because you're still living in your white body. Right? You're only taking the fight of it. Yeah. But you still get to benefit from what it means to be white in America. So, like, you could carry some. Here you go.
Yeah. Don't just take our load and then throw it on the floor and leave it there. Like, go somewhere with it. So that's important. And I think that's part of wellness, you know, making sure that we're in a good mind space because we're definitely caring a lot. Generational trauma is real. Mm-hmm. It is real. My grandmother had to experience things that I don't even know about, you know? And there's things that I might be experiencing that my kids are going to be like, what, that happened to you?
The stories we will tell our children.
I mean, just this time.
Especially
I mean,
about this moment right now.
We're living in a moment that is both beautiful and awful at the same time because we have change and we're standing with each other and we're doing what we have to do and we're making change. But at the same time, it's a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'm torn. It's like, it's just this interesting time yeah. in history.
Yeah, it's a lot. And that's why unplugging is so important. And I think a part of care, right, and something that I talked about in my podcast episode is about community care. And it's so, like, for me, it's so important to check in and, like, be in community with other Black women. Yeah. Like, for me, that's just, it just fills me up so much. It fills me up so much to be able to just sit and laugh and enjoy the company of other Black women, because that's how I grew up. You know, I grew up, I'm a girl's girl. Like, I grew up with a single mother. I have aunts, I have grandma, I have a grandmother. There's just a lot of women in my family who continue to just wrap their arms around me. And so that's how I've learned to give care, is to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I think particularly in this moment for Black people, like, finding community and finding joy is, like, between life and death right now.
Yeah.
You have to. Because there's so, like, because like you said, right, there's just so much. It's so much. And so taking time to unplug is vital.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so that's how you've been, like, holding it together and kind of practicing self-care, is by surrounding yourself with Black women and, yeah. And, like, having, like, little support groups, too. You know, therapy.
Therapy. I have a therapist, too, and she's been awesome. Mm-hmm. I look forward to having those therapy sessions, because I look at those as, like, my time.
Yeah.
Not to talk about everything that's happening with the world, but to really just talk about, like, me and like, how I'm feeling because of everything that's going on with the world, right?
For sure, so, yeah.
Yeah, therapy is so, so important.
So important. Shout out to Dr. Griselle Phillips.
Yay!
She listens to this podcast, too. She listens to it. So.
Yay!
Yeah. And is your therapist
doctor?
So is
also thinking about the importance of Black mental health professionals, right? Like, for me, I'm working towards becoming a licensed social worker so that I can also be a part of that work. Because, again, like, that's what I feel like my contribution is to this work, is providing care and providing therapy and those types of things.
Good.
But the importance of having someone who's Black who can like identify with you in that way in a clinical setting is so important. It's so important, because also psychology and clinical work and therapy is also very whitewashed. And so it's only recently now that we're seeing an emergence of Black therapists and Black, this version of Black clinical care that's taking care of Black people. I read something on the internet about that said something about, like, our ancestors didn't have a space to process all of the trauma that they went through. And so now in this moment, like, we have that privilege to have therapy, to process that trauma. And so maybe for us it will be a little bit different, because we have a space to talk about what it feels like to be in a Black body in America. And so, yeah, like, therapy, and especially if you can have a Black therapist, like, congratulations.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm so happy that I'm hearing more Black people say, I go to therapy. Not really Black men, but women. I'm hearing more that they're like, I go to therapy, and it's needed. Even, you know, and my grandmother looks at it as like, you still go? Is something wrong? You know, and it's like, no.
Yes.
It's just, you know, because she went to a therapist one time, but she said it wasn't a good experience. But, you know, not everyone's experience is going to be great the first time, you know, everyone has the different opinions of it and different experiences with it. But for me, it's just helped to be able to speak out, tell someone how I'm feeling, and not be judged for it. And there are times where I am wrong. And if I'm wrong, she's not going to say you're wrong. She's going to say, well, think about that for a minute. Let's unpack that. And it's,
yes.
It's great. I'm so happy with it.
Yeah, the older folks, like, I get it, right? Because they didn't grow up. And I think, again, we're also in a moment where we are talking about mental health. I feel like every other post that I see on my Instagram account is like, 5 ways to cope with anxiety and 10 ways to manage stress, which is great. And I just hope that the conversation around Black mental health, what it means to go to a therapist as a Black person, experiencing racial trauma, like, what does that process look like? I hope that conversation continues to grow, because that part has been missing from psychology for forever. Psychology is ran and created by old white men. They weren't talking about trauma, racial, race-based trauma. Like, these are conversations that are just now emerging in 2020, in 2019, the last couple of years. And it's important, so I just hope it continues to grow because it's so vital.
Yeah, things are getting a lot better. I mean, back even 5 years ago, I didn't hear many black people saying, I'll go to therapy or this. And we needed it, but no one wanted to really admit to it or want to do it. And now it's like it's normalized. And the social media, you know, I don't know if you follow Transparent Black Girl or Transparent and Black. You need to look at my friend Yasmeen Jamila is the CEO founder of.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And I had her on the show, I think the third episode of the podcast. And talking to her was amazing. I was like, wow. Like, she dealt with a lot of trauma. And she thought, well, to help other black people who are also going through things, let me come up with this collective. And she puts out together like activities and different things. And now things are virtual. But it's amazing. And something that I like to see on my feed, just positivity. She's a single black woman. She's celibate. She's confident, doing her thing. I said, I love it, you know, and that's the only part of social media I really like are people like her, not the others that I've been seeing. It's just, you know,
Media. And I agree with you. Like, it's important to be intentional about what you're pouring into the internet, because number one, internet, whatever you post lives forever, and number two, like, we're in a moment where people need to be taken care of. Like, I don't want to see anything that is negative. Like, I refuse. Like, it's already so hard, so why would I want to go on my feed and see something that's not feeding my soul? Like, I refuse to. And I definitely see more black businesses, which is also, I think, is emerging from this moment that we're in. There's a lot of black businesses that are being upheld and that are getting the recognition that they deserve. And it's beautiful to see that even though, like, we have so many things stacked against us, we're still surviving and we're still thriving and we're still creating businesses and we're still creating content that takes care of each other. Mm-hmm. We're still, like, doing the things that, like, who the level of resiliency that we have as a group is astonishing to me.
Can't hold us down. You can't. You could try, and we're not going anywhere. Black people, we gonna be here forever. If you don't like it, I'm sorry.
Well, too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, have you listened to this new Beyonce?
Oh, Black Parade.
Yes.
Black Parade. I haven't listened to it yet.
Girl, when you get off this call, please go listen to Black Parade. That is homework.
That's
homework. Everyone that is listening is homework for you. Like, please go listen to it, because I think it's just, again, just praising black joy and just showing, like, the resiliency that we all have. Like, you're mad because I'm black? Okay, stay mad. That's not my problem.
People are threatened by us because even after all we went through, we're still, like, the bomb, you know, like Obama and all these, like, amazing black people that are thriving out here. Come on.
And to take it a step further, like, if you're a black woman.
Oh, yeah.
They're even more, like, forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it. The strength of black women also is just amazing to me. Like, I see it every day with my family. I see it with my friends. Like, it's astonishing. It's beautiful to watch. But also, just because you can survive through it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't deserve care and love and attention and joy. Like, it's important that, especially for black women, that we seek out moments to take care of ourselves. Like, we have to take that time out.
We're holding on, and I think we're doing great. You know, we're killing the game, and no matter what, we're going to keep killing it. We have our podcasts, so we have platforms where we can talk about these things. And, you know, they can't take it away from us. So that's a fact.
They can't.
Yeah. I'm proud of my people. I'm proud to be black. I'm so proud. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk soon.
Yeah.
Don't be a stranger.
I'm looking forward to hear it.
Yeah, and hopefully when this is all done, we can definitely meet up, go for lunch or something again.
For sure.
That was fun. That was fun the last time.
It was a lot of fun. We have to do that again.
Yeah.
So hopefully by the time, before the summer ends, because, oh God, I need normalcy again. I need normal.
I feel you.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll talk soon.
Good seeing you.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Our second guest is Aji Diata.
Welcome to Saucy But Sweet with Ally McPherson.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Of course.
I'm so excited to be on.
Yes. I'm trying to get you on for ages, so woo!
Yeah.
My girl. This is my best friend over here.
Better late than never. Yes. Better late than ever.
Yes. This is my best friend. We've been friends for 2 years now. Yes.
Yeah, for about 2 years now. Well, actually, we knew each other longer.
But yeah.
We just reconnected a few years ago, so.
And it's been great
always
ever since.
Blessed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, as you know, in this episode, we're going to be talking about wellness and how to, like, kind of get through this traumatic time. Because even though this is such an important time in history, it's very overwhelming, especially with social media being so constant. So we'll start off by asking you, like, well, first, can you introduce yourself for people who don't know you?
So, hello, everyone. Hi, my name is Aji. I am West African Senegalese, born in America, and I'm just an upcoming entrepreneur. I go to Brooklyn College currently, trying to get my bachelor's, and I'm just an upcoming entrepreneur trying to get there eventually, but you know, it's a process. But yeah, that's pretty much me. Awesome. I have a YouTube channel. It's called Aji and Abby. So we speak on a lot of different issues on that channel. We speak on being Black in America, our experience. We do a lot of lifestyle vlogs. We cater to a lot of people who do makeup, skincare, hairstyles, whatever you can name up. Like, we do it. So
awesome. And also, I have to say this, Abby was on Still I Rise a few months ago on that episode. So, you know, Abby's a friend of the podcast. She's a friend of the...
Yes, she is.
Yes. I know she's going to be listening to this too. So
yes.
I have to say
also
that.
Also a number one supporter.
She's a supporter, yeah. Yeah, so even though I just saw you like over a week ago, how have you been dealing with everything? Because I know when we last saw each other, we weren't really talking about the pandemic. We were talking about everything else but the pandemic. But how have you been kind of dealing with everything right now and the protests?
Well, a lot has been going on. You would know this. even before the pandemic, even before we started to quarantine due to Corona, I was working with a marketing company, and I still remain with our marketing company even through quarantine. And we decided to leave New York because we believed that by leaving, we would have more opportunity to like grow our business outside of New York, because New York was still, all the businesses were closed. So that's why we moved to Florida. But with everything going on with the Black Lives Matter movement and personal issues, and also just being away from my family, I decided, like, this isn't for me. So I realized that the people who cared about me and what I was going through were here in New York, you know, like the people who actually checked up on me to make sure I was okay during the Black Lives Matter movement. Like, I noticed that all the people that I was surrounded with, and it wasn't their fault. Like, maybe it is their fault. Maybe I'm just making excuses, but they didn't really understand what was going on, and they didn't really care to ask me how I was doing amidst all these issues going on surrounding Black people. You know, like, I'm every Black person. I'm every Black person, and I I feel like I needed to be around my people. So that's why I moved back here to New York. I actually quit my job and moved back here, and I'm going to grow my business in terms of YouTube and being an entrepreneur, so I can actually have the platform to speak on these issues.
Yeah. And so, like, being in the space that you were in a few weeks ago, was it kind of hard to practice self-care? Because I know, you know, it's...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The environment that I was in was extremely toxic. Because imagine going through something, even if it's not me directly, but going through something as a community and being away from your community. People who don't understand won't ask you to make sure, won't even check up on you to make sure you're okay. You're okay during this this situation. Not only that, but yeah, it was just a rude awakening for me. And I just realized I just wanted to be around people who genuinely care about me and my well-being. So in order to take care of my mental health, I had to move away. I had to move back home.
Yeah. Yeah. And how has it been? Because when you left, New York was like very like locked down, and now it's like reopened. Have you been kind of going out more? Things like that?
Yeah. I wasn't really fearful that New York wouldn't open. I knew that when I came back, then it would be during phase one of reopening of businesses and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I know what it's like in Florida, so I wasn't really afraid, because in Florida, people are going about their lives as if Corona doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Here, at least New York is taking the initiative and not really listening to protesters about opening, because mm-hmm. it's really not about making people like the idea of quarantine, but to make sure that it's a necessary thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I was reading about it like yesterday, in so many different states are now seeing a surge in cases. So it's like, I know y'all wanted to go to the bar and twerk at the club and everything. We want to do that too.
But we want to do that too.
But like, not until there's a vaccine. You know,
Of course. It's like, you have to be alive in order to do those things.
Right?
You know? So why not just fall back, like relax for now? Take a few months like to relax and make sure that you're taking care of yourself. Why is everything like such a problem? Like, why is taking care of yourself and taking precaution, like, why is that an issue?
Yeah.
Why are people angry about that? That's something that's mm-hmm. always going to confuse me, and I'll never mm-hmm. understand.
Yeah, I think this is you know, in this country, we've been really lucky. We haven't had anything like this before. So people are very, I feel like we're very spoiled. You know, we're like, we want to do things when we want to do it.
Yeah, I always say this to my friends. When businesses were up and running, people were voluntarily taking days off and mm-hmm. like just, you know, and doing absolutely nothing. So mm-hmm. now when you actually have to, when you should do it in order to take care of yourself, it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's like, human beings in general, they just don't like to do what they're told.
Yep. That's a fact.
They don't. They do the exact opposite just because they have this dying urge to just defy, you know?
Yeah, for
sure. Defy the rules.
No, for sure. Yeah, yeah. And how have you been taking care of yourself now that you're back in New York, you're back home with your family?
Just to be with my family is a huge thing for me. I'm a family person. Not only that, I've just been making sure that I stay faithful. I make sure that I make sure that I have a set routine so that I'm not doing absolutely nothing, because I feel like when I don't have an agenda, when I don't have a, what's we call it, plan during the day, like I can get lost in my thoughts.
Yeah.
And I can think too much about the things I don't have in life, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of thinking about the things that I appreciate about life and the things that I am blessed with, you know, like I feel like when you have an agenda, throughout the days, that you're being quarantined, your life has more purpose. Human beings in general just have to have purpose. You need a reason to wake up every day. you need a reason to just strive for more. And when you have that, it drives you. It makes you not worry about the things that are so minuscule.
Yeah. No, for sure. I find that when I have too much time in the day, too much time of doing nothing, my thoughts, they go everywhere. And you feel it, you look, especially scrolling through social media and seeing what other people are doing. And it's just a lot of FOMO that happens, specifically, especially now, you know, and it's crazy. Like, social media has been a whirlwind.
Of course.
For me.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You just need to make sure that throughout the day, there are no empty slots. You need your time to be filled up all the way. Like, when you have that time, you think more. You think more about things that actually don't matter. Yeah. You know?
No, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of social media, do you feel like you've been on social media a lot more over the last few months? Have you taken breaks? How has your relationship with social media been?
Absolutely. Well, first off, I need to use social media to my advantage because I am a YouTuber, upcoming YouTuber. So I need social media as a platform in order to promote my craft, or in order to promote my videos. And so I actually need social media. So I've definitely been using social media than I usually do or usually would do in the past. But yes, of course, like now that I'm home, I'm definitely on social media more. But when I catch myself using it too much, using it for like in an obsessive way, I kind of realize that, and I kind of decide to just I just make a decision to do something else, use my time for something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's important, especially now with the protests and stuff. I'm so happy that people are protesting. And I almost like really don't want that to end because we need change. And I feel like the Black Lives Matter movement, a lot of times we start then stop and start then stop. And we need change. And this movement has been bigger than I've ever seen it. For me, as much as it's important to see the protests and to see everything on social media, there's a time when, especially as a Black person, that you kind of have to put the phone down.
Yeah, I really do hope that this Black Lives Matter movement thing isn't a trend.
Yeah.
And it's something that will be a permanent, like, revolution.
Yeah. Yeah, and I saw a quote that said, someone posted it saying, like, I genuinely want to know what's different this time. Like, what made you guys now want to fight? To white people, I think.
It makes me very proud to see that, because growing up, I didn't think that this many white people, to be exact, were on our side. I really never thought that. So seeing this was just, wow. It really created this like amazing feeling like in me, because I really didn't realize. I was just honestly pleasantly surprised. And humbled by that, you know? So I hope that it's coming from a genuine place. Because, you know, there are some people who they're not really a victim of a situation, but they do feel bad about the situation, but they don't know how to speak on it because they're not a victim. So I hope that this encourages people to just speak out more. Even if they're not a victim.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure, for sure. It's crazy. And every morning, every day when I wake up, I either read about Corona or who else was shot and killed. And cops are killing us while we're, like, the same time that we're protesting.
It's mind-boggling.
It's crazy.
It's so surreal. It really is so surreal because you would think that, it's getting better. It's getting better because they're hearing us. They're seeing us. But they're doing the same thing while we're trying to create change. It's amazing. It's so crazy to see.
Yeah. No, for real. For real. It's like, are we getting somewhere? I mean, yes. But then, you know, I mean, they're being held accountable more now.
Yeah. The only dangerous thing about human beings is someone who is a perpetrator, but they are righteous in their minds. How can you teach someone who is ignorant that doesn't want to be taught? that doesn't want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
How can you change their perspective on life, change their view on people and who they believe deserves certain rights and who they believe doesn't deserve certain rights? You can't teach someone that. It's how they were brought up, whatever environmental conditions they had. It's how they are brought up, and it's important. That's why it's so important to teach the youth, teach your kids from young that every life matters. And that's that goes into show that all lives matter
mm-hmm.
versus Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like people really don't understand mm-hmm. why it's disrespectful to say all lives matter.
Yeah.
Clearly all lives don't matter.
Yeah.
Because Black lives are being taken every day.
And then, you know, within the Black Lives Matter movement now, it's like then there's all Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Black trans lives matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of people. I'm just tired of certain people invalidating our struggles and our hardships in life. Don't invalidate it just because you yourself have never experienced that. I really don't like when people say like, oh, well, you're just whining. You're just an angry Black woman or you're just like doing too much.
Yeah, the angry Black woman thing that I haven't heard people use that in a while just because like right now we're all angry. Everyone's angry, even white people. So it's like the angry Black woman thing ain't going to work anymore. You could try that, but it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But on a lighter note, let's talk a little bit about your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I've obviously... have watched it, and I feel like it's important now more than ever, just because it's kind of a way to unwind from all of the constant overwhelming things that we're seeing. Can you kind of talk about how you guys started doing it and how important it is, significant it is right now for you guys?
Of course, of course. So I can't speak for Abby, but I myself have wanted to do a YouTube wanted to create a YouTube channel for a very long time now. I always knew that I wanted to be an influencer because I realized that just in every aspect of my life, I always was that already for other people. So I just said, like, why not just bring it on a, you know, global level, you know, like not even global. That's a bit extreme. But why not just bring it to like YouTube? Why not bring it to other people around the world where I can be an influence for others? Because there are so many issues that I have dealt with in my life, and I'm sure other people have dealt with as well, that I can be that voice for other people. I can help them get over whatever it is they're dealing with that I can relate to myself, that I myself have experienced, you know? So that was my main goal. I always wanted to be some sort of influencer. So I felt that YouTube was the perfect platform to do so. But how it came about me and Abby doing it, Abby and I were friends for a very long time. So we actually met in college and she currently lives with me now, but we decided that as a team, like we're gonna do it together because YouTube can be very scary, like in the beginning, first starting off, because you never know what to expect. But we decided that it wouldn't feel like work. It would be so fun doing it together. It'll be more motivation. So we just decided that, because we're, not to brag, but in the most humble way possible, Abby and I are like very talented in certain areas. Like I do.
No, let me just say something real quick.
Because
of you, I started wearing makeup and I started doing a better job. Because, and I'm telling you, before you, I was not picking up foundation. I was, why did I want blush? And I'm telling you, that's a fact. And Abby did my hair.
That blush thing is actually controversial. In my eyes, like, Black women don't blush.
Uh-huh.
Well, especially me, because I'm, like, extremely dark, so I don't blush. I can't speak for all Black women.
Yeah, so. I wear blush. I wear, like, the setting powder and then the setting spray, because you did it.
Yeah, you know, I want to be what I helped you with. I want to do what I helped you with,
but exactly.
on a global level, you know? So Abby and I, not to brag, we're, like, very talented. Abby does a lot of hairstyles. She does a lot of creative hairstyles. Mm-hmm. And she creates these own ideas. They're so authentic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people would love to just like learn those new things and just incorporate it into their regimens, their hair regimens, their skin routines, their makeup routines, etc. So yeah, and we don't only just do makeup and just do quote unquote girly things. Like we actually speak on real issues that go on in the world. We speak from our own perspective, our own experiences as Black women in America. Not only that, African women in America. We just have so many things that we can speak on that other people can relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we thought we would use that platform in the best way possible.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, good timing. You started during the lockdown. And now with everything going on, do you guys think that you would talk a little bit about Black Lives Matter on your show?
Of course. Mm-hmm. In our upcoming videos, that's definitely what we're going to speak on. Mm-hmm. And we don't just talk. We need to make sure we back up all our information, obviously, and make sure that we're saying the right things. We have all of the evidence to support it. But yeah, in our upcoming videos in the future, we will definitely be talking about Black Lives Matter, because I feel like it would be a shame to have this platform and not use it to speak on these issues, you know?
For sure. I was saying that in the thick of it, part one, like, how can you not? Like, how can you not talk about these things? Especially, like, as me as a Black woman. And I'm so glad to have Black women come on, like you, Abby. I'm having Raquel come on to this episode as well. It's just important, you know? And self-care is so important, too, because it's like we have to fight and make change, but at the same time, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to. There's no other way.
Of course.
No other way. Yeah. Yeah, but for me, I think the biggest thing, the best thing that I done right now, I don't know, like, the ways that I've been getting over what's going on is just kind of like, I don't know, like, I think Netflix has been a big help. And, like, talking to my mom about things, talking to, you know, you, and just, I don't know, just keeping my Black people close and talking and getting everyone's opinions.
That's actually what I wanted to say, too.
Yeah.
Just, it's so important for us to just make sure we have a positive surrounding.
Yeah.
Like, never surround yourself with people who are not aware of those issues. If you can't speak to the people around you about these issues mm-hmm. that are so personal and dear to you, then it's not worth that friendship, in my opinion.
No, for sure. But I'm glad that we got to talk, and I'm glad to have you on. You are the definition of Black girl magic.
Thank you so much. You're a queen. You are such a queen, sis.
Yes. Thank you, girl. Yeah, but, you know, as long as you're taking care of yourself and, you know, I'm doing the best I can. I think this podcast is the best form of self-care for me. I think this...
And I'm glad. I'm glad you have something that drives you, something that gives you purpose. It's very important. And take care of yourself, please. Especially during quarantine, try not to get in your own head, you know?
Yeah. No, for sure. You know, we all need something to give us purpose. Like you said, as humans, we need a purpose. All of us.
Of course.
So, yeah. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. I'm humbled. Thank you so much for having me on.
Of course. Bye.
Bye, girl.
Thank you for tuning in to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson.